This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. That's the sweet sound of oysters being shucked at the Flying Fish restaurant in Seattle, Washington. And that's the sweet sound of oysters being slurped. Most of these oysters come from oyster farms. The only wild oyster native to the North American West Coast is the Olympia. Once abundant, it's now hard to find. Scientists are turning north to Vancouver Island to study some of the last intact wild Olympia oyster reefs in the world. David Hyde of member station KUOW reports.
Brian Kingsett is a Canadian shellfish biologist. He's walked nearly every oyster beach in British Columbia. About 15 years ago, Kingsett was exploring a narrow inlet on Vancouver Island when he discovered oyster nirvana.
In this particular area we're standing today in Port Eliza, and just a very few other areas in the coast, we noted these really dense pockets of the native oyster, which is quite unusual because we actually surveyed several thousand beaches.
Kingsett is standing on the edge of a freshwater stream with two black bears feeding nearby. Dozens of Olympia oysters glisten in the mud at his boots. They're golden and tiny, about the size of 50-cent coins, and they occupy a solid band on this cobbly beach that starts just above the eelgrass in the inlet. The Olympia oyster was at one time abundant on the West Coast and an important food source for bear, otters, as well as coastal tribes.
What is really important here is that this is an animal that, you know, at the turn of the century, 1800s, had extensive distribution from San Francisco all the way up into British Columbia, where you very rarely find it now in very large amounts, and then suddenly they're gone.
So what decimated the Olympia oysters? Kingsett says it started with the California Gold Rush, when commercial harvesters cleared entire beaches up and down the coast.
We know that, you know, overfishing was a problem. We know that they're very sensitive to industrial pollution.
Human activities changed the chemistry of these waters, destroying wild reefs. In Puget Sound in Washington State, wild Olympia oyster harvest has declined from a peak of more than 200 million oysters a year to nearly zero. Globally, all species of wild oysters have declined by more than 90%. But on this trip, scientists documented the fact that this remote inlet has the highest known density of wild Olympia oysters in the world. They say this bed is as healthy as it was hundreds of years ago. And it's so robust, it's drawn scientists from all over the U.S. and Canada. Joff Davis is a shellfish biologist from Puget Sound.
What I'm doing here is digging the veneer of oysters in rocks away from the underlying sediment, and I'm putting a coring device deep into the ground, take a core of the sediment under the veneer of oysters and small rocks.
Davis says understanding these intact wild beds will help restore Olympia oysters elsewhere.
There are lots of oysters here, and the question I have, the ultimate question I have, and what I would like to pass on to my children, is we need to try to understand how and why these beds retain their longevity. How do they persist? And that, to me, is going to be the ultimate challenge.
Davis thinks the pristine streams flowing down from the forest above onto the oyster beach may hold the key.
There is nothing but trees in its undisturbed watershed on this particular beach, which is very rich in native oysters.
Davis works with an organization that's trying to bring wild Olympias back in Washington State despite ongoing pollution problems. They're seeding sites with young oysters and setting down old oyster shells to give the Olympias a place to grow. Similar programs to restore wild oysters are gaining momentum on both coasts in North America. And at least now they've got a blueprint to show them where they want to go. For NPR News, I'm David Hyde.